Song, Charla. Open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And I want to just bring you a principle here tonight from the Scripture. It won't be anything that's deep or too difficult to follow. And just give you a shot in the arm and talk to you a little bit about our plans for the month of May as we enter a new month beginning tomorrow. Joshua chapter 1. Give you a moment to find it if you're getting familiar with your Bible. Sixth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, then the book of Joshua. We're in chapter 1. Stand with me, please, in honor of God's Word tonight. I'll be reading verse number 1. Follow along. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. I want to speak tonight on this subject, prepare to be happy. Prepare to be happy. Now you'll understand the title as we get into the message in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful tonight to have a copy of your word before us. Thank you for giving us in this country an abundance of copies of your word. I pray, God, that we would hold it in high esteem. I pray, God, that we would read it, that we would listen and heed it and keep it. And Lord, in doing so, we would be blessed. Help us to be obedient in this area that we'll speak about tonight. Have your way in this service. Prepare our hearts, please. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have made this, or I have done this little exercised before in services here in years gone by. If I was, I won't do it tonight, if I was asked you to take a piece of paper and a pencil or pen out, and on that piece of paper write down the name of the person in the Old Testament that you consider to be the greatest leader. If I was to ask you to do that, take out a pen, I won't do it, but if you were to take a piece of paper out, take a pen or a pencil, and write on that sheet of paper the name of the person in the Old Testament that you considered to be the greatest leader, whose name would you put on that paper? I would imagine there would be many different names that would be put on the paper. Some might put Abraham, wonderful choice, the father of the faithful. Some might put Joseph, great choice. Some might put David. Some might put Elijah. Some might put Daniel. Others might put somebody else, maybe less well known, but because of a certain accomplishment, you feel them to be the greatest leader. If it were me, if I was told to do that, I took a piece of paper out, I have a pen, and write on that piece of paper the name of the person that I consider to be, in the Old Testament, the greatest leader, I don't think it would take me long. I think without hesitation, I would write down the name of Moses. Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong. That would just be my preference. I would choose Moses. His accomplishments speak for themselves. He led God's people out of the land of Egypt, which was no small task. He led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. He led them through the wilderness. He led them to the door of the promised land where they turned back in fear and faithlessness. And then He led them for 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness because of not going into the land of Canaan. And finally, toward the end of His life, He led them again to the door of the promised land. Along the way, He defeated armies during those 40 years. He dealt with every kind of problem you could imagine. No water. Now, folks, we're talking about 2.5 to 3.5 million people He is trying to lead. No water. No food. Attacked by enemies. He dealt with God's punishment on the people. His leadership was attacked by family and foe. You remember when Aaron and Miriam turned on Him, and then Korah and Dathan and Abiram. So His leadership was called into question. Moses had power. Moses had authority. He was tough when he had to be. He was tender when he could be. The truth of the matter is, the children of Israel, their lives were spared because of Moses' heart for those people. He was a tremendous leader. But when you come to the time in the passage here when Moses has died, God eulogizes Moses in the verses we read a moment ago. And as He eulogizes Moses, God simply refers to him as my servant. My servant. Now, the truth of the matter is, the word servant is used 20 times in the book of Joshua. 18 of those 20 times it is used about Moses. The other two times it is used about Joshua. So 18 out of 20, 90% of the times that the word servant is used in the book of Joshua, which is 24 chapters long, 90%, it's used about Moses. The truth of the matter is, the words leader, leadership, leading, none of those words are found in the book of Joshua. But over and over and over and over again, Moses is called God's servant. My servant, or the servant of the Lord. If Moses was anything, he was God's servant. God's servant. How did Moses serve God? Moses served God by leading God's people. And by leading God's people, Moses served them. They needed leadership. They needed direction. They needed guidance. And Moses provided all of those things for the people. He served God by serving God's people. When you go to the New Testament, the same thing occurs. You find the Apostle Paul, a wonderfully used servant of God. How did Paul refer to himself often in the epistles that he wrote? Paul, a servant of God. Paul, the servant of God. How did Paul serve God? By serving God's people. He preached to them. He organized them into assemblies. He challenged them to grow in grace. Again, Paul served God by serving others. And of course, people, it goes without saying, the greatest servant of all was the Lord Jesus Christ. He served His Father by serving people. In all sorts of ways, Jesus served people. Paul said about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2 that Christ, that I'm quoting now, made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. He didn't take upon the form of Lord and Master. He was Lord and Master. His very essence, by His own nature, He was Son of God, God the Son. He was Lord and Master. And as Jesus Christ, Lord and Master, Son of God, He took upon Himself the form of a servant. And the truth is that Jesus became the greatest example of being a servant by humbling Himself to meet the greatest need mankind had, the need of salvation. And Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You remember, for sake of time, I'm not going to be long tonight. I want Brother Grady to have a few minutes here at the end. But you remember the story over in John chapter 13 where Jesus is at the Last Supper with the disciples in the upper room. We've talked about that before. And how that it was a upper room that was furnished. There was probably a very low table. You probably have seen pictures of people in the Middle East having a meal together, and they lounge around a table that's very low to the ground, and sometimes they have pillows or other things that they lean up against, and that's the way they would get together and eat meals. And the upper room was furnished, so it probably had a low table. It was also furnished with a pitcher of water, a basin, and a towel, because it was customary, if you had guests to your house, that a servant would take the water and the towel and wash the guest's feet. And so because it was a borrowed upper room, everything was furnished, but the servant didn't come with the room. You remember as the disciples gathered around the table that night to have that supper with the Lord, that Jesus took the water and Jesus took the towel. And it was Jesus who washed the disciples' feet. You know, I can imagine those disciples sitting around there. I've done this before with you. Sitting around there, around that table, and as the supper begins to come to an end, maybe Peter looks at Matthew and says, "Hey man, where's the servant? I don't see a servant. There's the pitcher, and there's the towel, and there's the water, but there's no servant here." And I can hear Matthew say, "Well, Peter, why don't you do it?" And Peter said, "Oh, not on your life. I'm nobody's servant." And, Philip is over there, and he's the mathematician because he's the one that knew there was, five pieces of bread and two pieces of fish. And Philip is over there trying to figure out how much water it would take for the servant to come and wash the disciples' feet. And the different disciples are all sitting around just wondering who was going to stoop to be the servant. Jesus stands up. Jesus walks over to the basin. Jesus puts the water in the pitcher. Jesus takes the pitcher and puts the water in the basin. Jesus drapes the towel over His arm. And it's Jesus who got down on His knees and washed the feet of those disciples. It was Christ who possessed the attitude and the practice of a servant. And after He was through washing their feet, He said to them, "I have given you an example." In Luke's gospel, Jesus said this to the disciples. I love this. He said, "I am among you as he that serveth." And that's how the Lord Jesus conducted His ministry on earth with those 12 disciples. He, being their Lord and Master, didn't lord over them. He was among them as their servant. He said to them in John 13, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." That's why I'm saying, folks, by His very essence, by the essence of His character, that the very nature of His being, He is Lord, He is Master. That's who He is. He said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I am among you as one that serveth." Let me tell you something, folks. Titles do not exempt a person from possessing the attitude and the practice of a servant. His title is Lord. His title is Master. But that didn't make Him above serving the needs of His own followers, His disciples. Titles do not exempt us. The title of pastor does not exempt a man from possessing the attitude and the practice of being a servant of others. The title of Sunday school teacher or elder in the church, as far as an older man goes, titles don't exempt us from the attitude or the practice of a servant. And Jesus said that, "I have given you an example that ye ought to also ought to wash one another's feet." And then I love what He said in John 13. Here's what He said, and don't miss this. This is where the title of the message all comes together. Jesus, after He washed their feet and said, "I've given you an example of how you ought to treat each other," He then said, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." It's not enough just to know it, folks. You got to do it. It's not enough just to have the knowledge. You have to practice it. That's why I say He had the attitude and the practice of a servant. And it's true. What Jesus said is absolutely true. You find someone who has the heart and the attitude of a servant, and you will find a happy person. A happy person. You know, Brother Tony Wilcoxon came, he pastors the Rose City Baptist Church in Rose City, Texas. He came last year to the Revival Fires Conference, and he called me about two or three, four weeks after the conference. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "look," he said, "you know," he said, "I love to cook." He said, "I do well on the grill. I do well on the smoker." And he said, "and we had smoked meat one year for the Revival Fires Conference, but it tasted and smelled like diesel fuel." And I remember, you know, if you guys remember that or not, we all come out of there smelling like we've been walking around a chimney, honestly. And it wasn't done right. He said, "look, I can do it." He said, "I've done it for other things." He said, "if you want me to," he said, "I'm coming. I'll sit and listen, but if you'd like for me to, I'll cook for the two meals on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll cook the meat. You guys can do everything else." And I said, "Brother Tony, if that's what you want to do." You know what that is? That's just serving. Just serving. He came up here for the purpose of being a servant. Yes, he came to the services at night. Yes, he sat in a couple of services in the morning. But he came here to be a servant. I know Brother Wilcoxon. I've been with him. He's a happy man. Jesus isn't just speaking words, folks, into hot air. He's giving biblical truth. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. The happiest person is the one who's serving somebody else's need. And I submit tonight that there is a real need for God's people to consecrate themselves in this area of serving others. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing to fill God's hand? What are you doing to place yourself at His disposal in the area of serving others? And that is our emphasis in this consecration restoration. This is our emphasis in the month of May. It is serving. We had prayer in January. We had Bible reading in February. We had preaching in March. We had witnessing in April. Now we're moving into May starting tomorrow. And the emphasis in the month of May is in the area of serving. Serving others. We have a couple of things planned that we're going to try to do to encourage you to serve others in the month of May. First thing begins this Wednesday night. We've mentioned it a couple times, but let me go into detail about it this evening. Our teenagers are going to have the opportunity to teach the elementary kids, younger than them, a Bible lesson while we're having church service here on Wednesday night. You say, "Pastor, I'd rather my teenager sit and listen to you teach." Folks, they're going to hear me teach. Listen. It's fun, it's enjoyable to sit in a class and be taught by somebody else. But at some point, serving others by becoming the teacher is incredibly important. And why are we waiting until they're married adults to get them interested in teaching? That needs to begin now, while they're young people, helping them to have the opportunity to teach children that are younger than them. So this is the program on Wednesday nights, three Wednesday nights in the month of May, beginning this Wednesday night, and then 2 weeks later, three in a row here. Okay, beginning this Wednesday night, three in a row. Ages 3 through 6th grade are welcome to go to the gymnasium. Brother Mick is going to run the program over there while we're in Bible study and prayer meeting over here. There's going to be a program for them. They will have an opening assembly, much like they would in a Sunday school class or a junior church. They're going to sing some songs. They're going to have a game or two. Brother Mick is going to preach a message. And then they're going to divide up into huddle groups, much like our afternoon Sunday school, led by the teenagers of Faith Baptist Church. And the older teenagers will take the older elementary kids, and the younger teenagers will take some of the younger ones in interspersed ages. And in those huddle groups, they will go over the lesson, the story, the message that Brother Mick just preached to the kids, and they'll try to get some response and engage the younger children in answering some questions and talking about, listen to this, how they can take what he preached from the Bible and put it into practice in their life. They will encourage them in that way. And then they'll come back after the huddle groups are done, and they'll meet together as a group, and it'll be over at the same time we finish our Bible study over here. It's called serving. It's called meeting the needs of other people. It's called investing your talents, your abilities, what God has given you in somebody else. If ye know these things, that's not enough to be happy. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And I promise you, any teenager that sits in a little group with younger elementary kids and sees the light come on or sees that story grasped, that teenager is going to leave here on Wednesday night feeling like Superman. Because that's what happens when you serve others. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. By the way, this is tremendous preparation because this summer, remember we had our teen auction here a few weeks ago, and the money that was raised is going to be used. Our teenagers are going down to conduct Vacation Bible School for Brother Marty Montgomery at Capital Baptist Church. They're going to run the program. They're going to run. Brother Mick and the teenagers are running the program for Brother Marty at the church there in a three-day VBS this summer. You see, look, you say, there are some things more important than football. There are some things, our teenagers go off to tournaments. I'm not against that. I'm for that. That's wonderful. Good. Go play basketball. Go play volleyball. That's great. Enjoy it. Go play football. That's wonderful. I'm not against that at all, folks. Sports is a good thing in a young person's life. But it's not the only thing. And some people have the habit of only showing up when it's sports. Only showing up when it's sports. And so the teenagers are going to be encouraged to go to another church in another town, in a church started by a young boy that grew up in this church and is pastoring now, and help them have a Vacation Bible School. So a lot of what they're doing on these Wednesday nights, not only is for their opportunity to serve, it's in preparation of going to Capital City and doing it there this summer. It's called serving. It's called serving. So we're going to make that opportunity available for the teenagers over the next three Wednesday nights. We have Bible study in here. Then, toward the end of the month, we're going to designate a couple of Saturdays, and we want to use a few hours on a Saturday to encourage those of you that can to be a blessing to some of the senior saints in our church. And we've contacted some. We'll be contacting some others. What can we do for you? I sat down with some a couple of weeks ago. What can we do for you? Do your gutters need cleaning? Do you need something raked up? Do you need something cleaned up after the winter? Get the lawn in shape. What do you need? Do you need the carpet clean? What do you need around the house? We're trying to prepare some projects. Just cleaning out some things. Getting some, not projects that are going to take 12 hours. Not projects that are going to take 2 days. Projects that are going to take just a few hours. And hopefully we got a good group of people. We divide up into groups. We split up on these Saturdays. We go there at some senior saint's house. Spend an hour. Folks, Dorothy Lewis can hardly walk right now. She can hardly walk. The pain in her hip is so bad, she can hardly walk. She's going to get a shot this Tuesday, I think it is. But she's probably headed to hip surgery. Probably headed to that. And, you know, we got to You know, it's just, it happens with time, folks. When I came here, there were very few senior citizens in this church. Very few. Very few. That's one of our largest Sunday school classes now. One of our largest adult Sunday school classes is a senior saints class. And they get older. And, you know, they can't climb ladders. And they can't do things. Here's a way for us to be a blessing to them, okay? And take care and help, a service to them. And the goal is not just to do a couple of projects, you know, teach a couple of lessons and then walk away, never to serve a brother or sister again. The goal is to help develop a heart that looks for opportunities to be a blessing. The goal is to start possessing the attitude and the practice of being a servant. Now, many of you are already involved in some way right here at the church doing that. But it's even looking up, it's lifting up our eyes and going beyond the confines of the ministry of this church. Is what can you and I do to be a personal blessing? The goal is to be ready when a need arises, so that I can be a blessing and meet somebody else's need, possessing the attitude and the practice of a servant. Brother Jameson had no idea that I was even going to mention what I was preaching about tonight. I told that story this morning about being in the church they came from, and that older man who said Steve Epley sings off key, and he said that's Brother So-and-so, isn't it? I said, yeah, that's his name. He said, yeah, I know him. He's a very smart man. And he said, Todd said, he lived a couple of doors, down the street from you, I think, right? Same street. And he said, Todd found out that his ceiling fan wasn't working. So he's in his late 70s, or he's 80 years of age this time. And Todd found out his ceiling fan wasn't working, and he walked down the street with his tools, went down there, took his tools, and repaired the guy's ceiling fan and got it working. How long after that? 2 weeks later, this man's wife was raking leaves in the front yard, dropped dead of a heart attack. 2 weeks later. But Todd went down there and did the work of a servant. The attitude of a servant. What can I do to be a blessing to somebody else? What can I do to help somebody else? The attitude, the practice of being a servant. You know, people, at some point, you and I are going to come across somebody whose feet need washing. And I'm not talking about literally taking water and towels and washing feet. I'm not talking about that. But you know what I'm saying? Their feet need washing. There is something that they need that they can't do for themselves. There's something that you and I can do. And are we going to be willing to personally, so to speak, take a towel, take some water, get down on our knees, and wash their feet? You know, and I hear things. I'm sure I don't hear everything. But I hear things from time to time. And I heard years ago how that a lady in the church here went to sit with an elderly lady who was sick and not well. And this lady in the church went and just sat for 2 or 3 hours, gave her time to go and sit with this elderly lady who was not well and try to be a blessing to her and her husband. That lady has since died and gone on to heaven. But somebody did the work of a servant. Somebody got a towel, somebody got some water, somebody got the pitcher, and somebody went and washed another Christian sister's feet. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Am I willing, are you willing, are we willing to place ourselves in God's hand and serve Him by serving them? By serving others? Look, don't you suppose at that supper there around that table, don't you suppose that Jesus very easily could have said, hey, Thomas, hey, get the water and wash our feet. Could he have said that? Sure he could have. You think Thomas would have done it? Sure. Because Jesus is who? Lord and Master. But he didn't tell Thomas to do it. He didn't send Matthew to do it. He took the water. He took the towel. He washed the feet. And then he said, I've given you an example. And by the way, if you will practice this principle of being a servant and humbling yourselves, you will be happy. Church, I preach it tonight. Prepare to be happy. You young people should prepare to be happy. You get over there on these Wednesday nights and you teach the little boys and girls. And you know. And listen, hey, can I tell you teenagers something? Do you know the little boys and this girl, little boys and little girls of this church look up to you? And you just speak a hello to them, and their whole Sunday is like, But most teenagers don't do that. Most teenagers grunt, ignore little kids. Get out of my way. Don't bother me. You bother me, boy, Foghorn. Amen. Leghorn, you bother me. Little kids, look up to teenagers. And you sit down with them and you talk about the message that Brother Mick preaches and correct it all, because it'll probably all be heresy, amen, and everything. And then they get a blessing out of it. And you'll be happy. You'll be the happiest person. I guarantee it. You invest a couple of hours in helping one of the senior saints of this church with some kind of project. When you leave there, you will not feel like you've wasted your time. When you leave there, you will feel like, wow, this is great. It's what Jesus promised. It's what He said. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you a servant? Whether you know it or not, you are. All of God's people are servants. Some are self-serving. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Some of God's people never leave the confines of me, myself, and mine. You serve yourself. That's all you do. You serve your own needs, the needs of your immediate family, your spouse, your children, grandchildren, maybe. That's what you're interested in. And there's nothing wrong with that. But folks, I don't know that Jesus confined the attitude and practice of a servant to immediate family. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're not just only white unto harvest. There's opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be a servant. Fill God's hand. Consecrate yourself to serve God by serving others. Where can you find a towel? Where can you find some water? Where can you find some feet to wash? If you will do that, if you find your towel, and you find your water, and you find somebody's feet to wash, you can prepare to be happy. You can prepare to be happy. Because that's what Christ said. I've left you an example. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The month of May, we want to emphasize this area of service. The area of service, being a blessing to somebody else. Find a towel, find some feet, find some water, and prepare to be happy. Folks, you don't have to do it here through the organized church. You can find your own. There's a lot of feet out there that need to be washed. Find it and serve them. Heavenly Father, would You take the message this evening and speak to our hearts with it? Lord, I pray that You will help us as we emphasize this very important matter this month. I pray that You will help us to rise above the confines of me, myself, and mine. And that, God, we will look for opportunities to be of service to somebody else. To be a help. Lord, there are some in the church who physically, seriously can't do that. They just don't have the physical wherewithal to be that kind of a servant. They can serve in other ways. But Lord, I pray for the young people, and I pray for those adults and other folks, Lord, that have the ability to grab a towel and grab some water and wash somebody's feet. I pray that You'll help us to look for that opportunity this month and go about being a servant to others. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the example You left us. Help us to follow in it and to find happiness in doing so. Speak to our hearts tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, you can sure get saved tonight. You could come down here. Somebody could take the Scripture and show you how to be saved this evening. And that's open for anybody whose heart would be convicted about their sin and need to be saved. If you need to be baptized, come right away. And you'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Brother Scott and Linda are ready tonight to help us with this. If you want to come tonight at this altar, stand at the altar, or make an altar out of your own pew and present yourself to God and say, God, please help me to have the attitude and the practice of a servant, and do so this month. Help me to find a towel and find some water. Show me somebody's feet who need to be washed for the purpose of doing it. And you ask the Lord to do that for you tonight. Father, if you need to join the church, you come at this time as well. Father, bless the invitation. Help us, O God. prepare to be happy by being a servant. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed while the folks are...